Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ bar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ashley Banfield. This is Drop Dead Serious. I'm in my summer attire. That doesn't mean I'm not working hard at like ferreting out what's going on behind the headlines. And as it turned out, we're not done with the Diddy verdict, even though it was already announced in court. As it turns out, after Diddy left the federal courthouse in Manhattan, he went back to his lockup, the federal lockup in Brooklyn, and was greeted like a hero. Apparently, according to his lawyer, Mark Agnifilo, he walked into the lockup and was greeted with a standing ovation by all the other inmates. And the reason was effectively because, the way Mark Agnifilo puts it, the inmates said nobody ever beats the feds. And they're not wrong. I will tell you this, they're not wrong. Federal court, federal cases, federal trials is a reason why people say, hey, don't make a federal case out of it. It's because they rarely lose. They rarely take cases unless they know they're going to win. And they have like a 95 to 98% win rate. So the fact that it's kind of a mixed verdict and not a big win, yeah, those inmates weren't wrong when they said nobody ever beats the federal government. However, I don't know if he'll get the same standing O after sentencing. We'll find out in October. But I did want to tell you something. I was so curious as to where this jury was with sex trafficking and RICO. Because I have not made it. I mean, I have not been quiet about it. I have not made any secret about it. I saw it all the way along. By the letter of the law, by the evidence, by the testimony, by the corroboration of the testimony, I saw it many times over. And I had a chance to talk to a juror. Like, super exciting. His name is George. He will not give his last name. He was in the original panel of 18 that sat through every piece of the trial. All of them thought they were going to be on the panel, on the 12 deliberating jurors panel. And in the end, when it came time for deliberation, the judge actually picked 12 out of the 18. So George did not deliberate with the other panel, but that's why he could talk to me. And oh my God, wow, did I ever learn a lot? I think you will too. Specifically, when I really drill down on the arcane parts of the law and what the jury got out of the presentation of the case versus what the law really requires. Here's my conversation with him on my News Nation show, Banfield.
George, welcome to the show. Boy, oh boy, have I ever wanted to talk to you. I'm really thankful that you're doing this. And first, can I just say thank you for your service?
No, thank you. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's... It's a lot. You know, everybody thinks jury duty. How do I get out of it? But you're an example of a shining fellow American who didn't do that. And you did your civic duty. And I know you're smiling, but I'm really pious about this stuff. I think it's really important. So with that all said, did you agree with the verdict?
I did. I did agree with the verdict. You know, through the whole thing, I took a lot of notes. I think about 350 pages worth of notes, about three steno pads worth of notes. I wasn't actually the one that took the most notes. There was others that actually took more notes than I did. I think four steno pads. But I think if I was able to, given the chance to deliberate and review all my notes, review all the evidence, everything I needed to see, and also, most importantly, review the judge's charges, I would have eventually reached the same conclusion that the other the 12 jurors found.
And of course, there you were. The 12 went off into the room, and you didn't get to be the fly on the wall in the room. But did you all have the same sense? I know you weren't allowed to talk about the facts of the case, but you were with these people for, what, 7 weeks straight? Get the sense that everybody felt the same way all the way along, or was it poker face? You couldn't tell.
You know, it was, I think, in a sense, we were just all hoping, we were just kind of waiting for it to end, you know? Every day, I think it was just because there was so much evidence and so much testimony, and it was, like, as you say, it was 7 weeks of witness after witness after witness after witness. So I think we were hoping for it to come all together, and we were really waiting for the judge to give us his instructions to know, you know, what the definitions are, what we're actually looking to do. So I think we had an open mind this entire time, and it really was like a show. And, you know, we were just, you know, the audience and just waiting to hear everything, whatever both sides present to us, and then make the ruling.
With that, I want to go sort of granular down to each of these charges, because sure. When you listen to the prosecution's closing argument, she said to you, you can agree to have a lot of sex, and then if you don't agree just one time, that's sex trafficking. And I felt like there was evidence where both Jane and Cassie said, I don't want to do this. And there was pressure. There was either force, fraud, or coercion. Did you not agree? Did you think that the women were not telling the truth?
No. From the beginning, you could tell that. I mean, especially like Cassie, you know, when she came in, she was, you know, very visibly pregnant. I mean, she was extremely pregnant. So and even when Jane came, I think both of them were very credible. But as you listen to their testimony, and both of them, their testimony went for days. I think as you listen to them, some parts of their story at times, you know, seemed like certain parts didn't really. There were a little bit holes, especially when under cross-examination, you know, it raised a little bit levels of doubt, especially in my mind,
George,
on certain things.
So I get that. I definitely get that. It raises certain levels of doubt because there's, I love free coughs, right? There's that text message, I love to free cough with you. But do you believe, George, and do you think your fellow jurors believed that Cassie, and let's just put Jane aside, that Cassie, at least one time, did not want to be a part of that. Say, for instance, after the escort testified that he could hear what sounded like Diddy beating her in the next room, and then they came back in and he said, finish strong. Did you believe that maybe that was an instance where Cassie truly did not want to finish, but she was coerced into finishing that free cough?
You know, when looking at everything, and then because the defense, when they were showing, you know, the counter arguments, they would always show, you know, the after effects of some of the, especially the text messages. And in those instances, there was also a lot of saying thank you sometimes, or, you know, I had a great time. So those kind of instances, they really did, I think, raise a little bit of doubt. And then just to know that these freak-offs were, you know, done in with free will.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's what I mean. So I think many of them seemed to be, according to the evidence, she was into it. She was organizing and saying thank you and all the rest. But that one freak off, that's why I get down to the granular. The one freak off where the escort said I could hear her being, what sounded like her being beaten. She came out and Diddy said, finish strong. And did that, is it possible, again, in a reasonable, not beyond all measure of doubt, just a reasonable doubt, is it possible that Cassie did finish that freak off under coercion because she had just been smacked around in the room next door?
No, it very well could be. But I think when you look at everything together, there was some doubt that the jury had to convict, to say that those two counts were not guilty.
And maybe, I don't know if you agree with this, George, maybe there was too much information. Maybe the prosecution just handed you way too much to be able to kind of sort through it all, again, on that granular level. Is that fair?
I think it is fair. I mean, there was a lot of information, I have to say. I mean, every day when I would leave the court, it was just like, you really didn't know like where to even like begin. A lot of times I would just walk home from the court all the way up to Grand Central, just to kind of clear my mind of all the things, because it's just, you know, it's just a lot of information. There's a lot of exhibits that they kept presenting. So and every day was just, I always just came with an open mind, and it just, I really didn't have any, my mind made up in either way, really, until the end, until we were really waiting until the judge gave his 62-page instructions on what we need to do. And that's, I think, what I was waiting for, was just, why are, you know,
that's,
what
a
are
long
we here
walk,
for?
By the way.
It is.
That's like,
but
almost
every
an
day
hour,
I try to
do
12,000 steps.
That's a lot. That's a long walk. I have one last question. I'm going to make it brief because I'm running out of time, but I am so curious, because as I watched all of this testimony and the witnesses every single day, I felt like I saw evidence of bribery, kidnapping, extortion, assault, corroborated by several witnesses, testimony, and messages. And those were all the predicate acts in order to find RICO, the racketeering. And yet the jury found no racketeering. Why do you think that is?
I think, you know, racketeering, and I mean, from what I understood, it's a very, I mean, all the charges are very hard, are very high bar charges. But when you look at the different counts, I think the defense raised some doubt in each one of them, especially, you know, kidnapping, arson, forced labor, all of those different charges, because you had to find them in two. I think there was always a little bit of doubt. The prosecution did an excellent job. I have the highest regards for all the prosecutors. I was very impressed with them. But the defense did poke some holes in the witnesses' arguments on those some of those charges.
They did their job.
They did their job. They did what they were paid for.
They poked a lot of holes, George.
Yes.
They got you to reasonable doubt. They got your colleagues to reasonable doubt. One last quick question. I knew that
sure.
I said that was my last question, but I do have this one. Can I ask you this? Ooh. What do you think of Sean Combs as a man?
Well, any man who, you know, who's does domestic violence isn't much of a man, in my opinion. You know, it's anyone that beats a woman, hurts a woman, is not a good person. And that was from the beginning. They had even the defense admitted that Sean Diddy Combs is he's a very flawed individual. So, you know, I'm glad that the evidence was overwhelming that he's found guilty on these two charges. So I'm glad that he is going to face justice.
Serve some time. Yeah.
So I'm happy for that.
George,
and I hope he gets whatever he can get.
Did you were you about to say you hope he gets the max?
I said I hope it's the judge's discretion for whatever however the sentence. But I hope and I know the judge has been fair this whole time. So I hope it's the maximum whatever is possible.
That's interesting. I want to thank you again for your civic duty and all those days and weeks and the mental anguish of going through it. It's a tough job, but I'll bet if you're like most people I ask, I bet it was very, very rewarding. And I think you get a break from jury duty for a long time, George. Thank you for doing this tonight.
Thank you again. Thank you for having me on.
So appreciated.
Okay, so what a guy. I mean it when I say I am so appreciative of jurors who give us like 7-8 weeks out of their lives. Like, that's a big old deal. So I'm super thankful. My overall take on this is that while the prosecution did a phenomenal job, I believe they did an incredibly thorough job in investigating and then presenting. And they got hosed by, I believe Gina was the one that stepped away and said, I don't want to be a part of this trial. I'm not showing up for testimony. I think it was too much. I think it was too much. I think the jurors, as you heard from George, had so much to contemplate. They had so much to remember. I'm in this business and I was forgetting. I couldn't remember the name of the escort in week one who told the story about listening to Cassie getting beaten by Diddy in the next room and then them coming out and Diddy saying, finish strong. I couldn't remember his name. It was, I think, Daniel Phillip. But I really get it if the jury after 7 weeks were just like overwhelmed with too much information. So number one, I think that's the folly of the prosecution. They thought they were doing an amazing job and they were, but it was just too amazing. It just comes down to that. You got to know your audience. They're not in our profession. They're like mechanics and hairdressers and, clerks and people who are like, whoa, 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 how does a courtroom work? So that's what I think, number one. Number two, I still believe full-throatedly that women have to prove 10 times more than men do when it comes to what it means to be sexually abused, manipulated, coerced, or be victims of fraud. I do. I think that we saw multiple examples with corroborating evidence and witness testimony that suggested there was force, fraud, and coercion in these sexual acts, maybe not even plural. But I sure as hell saw one with Cassie, and I sure as hell saw one with Jane. And this is the problem, the summation. You've got to drill down one thought. I know it was a 4-hour summation for the prosecutors and then a rebuttal, but you got to drill down one thought over and over like Johnny Cochran's jazz hands. If the glove don't fit, don't acquit. You got to acquit. That's what they remember. And I think if they had just said there was one act that we as prosecutors saw 100% was force, fraud, and coercion in the sexual act, with the escort, and that's all you need. The law needs one act. I know they said it. I just don't think they drilled it, right? And again, I think we're not there yet where women get the benefit of the doubt. Because I saw Cassie's testimony and I saw Jane's testimony and I saw multiple examples of theirs and others' corroborating testimony to see that these women were browbeaten. and they were coerced and they were scared and did things. And yes, they were into it at one point, absolutely. But the law accommodates for that. The law accommodates for you being into it and then suddenly you're not, right? Like, you're allowed to say, yes, yes, I like this. And then suddenly, whoa, 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 this is getting to be too forceful. I don't want to do this anymore. And if you continue, it is rape. That's what the law says. I just don't think the women at this point, overall, sweeping comment, get the benefit of the doubt on that or the benefit of belief. Ugh, I sure went out on a limb there. I hope I didn't make you all angry, but law's the law. And that's the way I see it. And I hope at some point more people will start seeing it. I mean, we're always evolving, aren't we? There was a time when you legally couldn't rape your wife. And there was a time when nobody ever thought a prostitute could be raped because that was her business. Anyway, we're not there anymore, thank God. But then again, maybe we are. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I so appreciate this community. And remember, the truth isn't just serious. It's drop dead serious.
Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.